Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, October 31st. Turnout is expected to be low for the November 7th election. That's largely because there is no statewide ballot question to help generate excitement for or against an issue. But a third of cities have elections, and in 16 of them, local leaders are hoping voters will let them explore other options for providing broadband internet service. Benta Berkland has more.
Even in 2017, with all of our smart devices, access to broadband is still a problem in parts of Colorado. Not every home or business can connect to high-speed or reliable internet, and some rural areas have no broadband at all.
And it's not just a matter of being able to email or surf the web. This is commerce and industry. It's medicine. It's schools. And if you can't get connected, you're being left behind.
Kevin Balmer is the deputy director of the Colorado Municipal League, which advocates on behalf of cities and towns at the state capitol. Right now, consumers are largely limited to getting internet from a handful of major players, including Comcast and CenturyLink. If local municipalities want to get into the game, state law requires a vote of the people.
That doesn't necessarily put fiber in the ground or light it up, but it allows them to start investigating public-private partnerships and other options.
The city of Longmont is farther along in this process. After successful votes in 2011 and 2013, fiber has been installed for residents and businesses throughout the city. To pay off the bond, it relies on customers signing up, which so far they have.
We have a great opportunity to share Longmont's story just down the road.
Colin Garfield is working on a similar initiative for Fort Collins. He's on the Citizens Broadband Committee.
It'll create competition in a market that currently does not have any competition. Let money stay local. This is our one shot at doing this.
The city already passed a measure to explore other options, and it now wants to install its own fiber. But there's been pushback.
Measure 2B would spend $150 million on a broadband network with no plan for how to do it.
The Colorado Cable Telecommunications Association has pumped more than $100,000 into a group funded by the Fort Collins Chamber of Commerce. They've sent out flyers and mailers and produced a TV ad criticizing the city for trying to get into the internet business.
Instead, we should invest in public safety,
affordable housing,
and roads and bridges.
Proponents haven't done polling on the issue, but think the vote will be close. The city of Greeley also has a broadband question in front of voters, and Mayor Tom Norton knows the topic causes friction between cities and telecommunication companies.
There's some middle ground in competition, getting a better service and being able to compete and being fair with the company that makes an investment, being able to get a return on their investments.
But even though Greeley isn't yet asking to build the infrastructure to provide its own broadband service, Norton says the city wants to explore all options.
The quality of the product and the speed are very important for us in the long run in terms of businesses and economic development. I find that it's not good for most businesses.
While the goal may be low cost and high speed service, state lawmakers may soon prevent cities from even going down this route in the future. The Municipal League's Kevin Balmer hopes that doesn't happen.
I fully expect to see legislation that says if you want to have any rural broadband money, it will only be done when private sector companies are able to do it by preempting municipalities. We'll absolutely oppose that legislation.
A lot of local governments are pursuing this option. Whether it ends up solving their community's needs is left to be determined.
That's Democratic House Majority Leader Casey Becker of Boulder. She doesn't think all of these local broadband votes are the answer, especially for rural areas.
So folks have come to the legislature to say, look, there still has to be a level playing field. There still has to be fair competition. The private companies are working out with local governments. When are you competing against us? And when are you regulating us? And what do those lines look like?
Becker says the state will still have to step in to provide solutions to rural areas where it's extremely expensive to install broadband infrastructure. She plans to work on the issue when lawmakers return to the state capitol in January. I'm Benta Berkland.
Independence Pass closed at 7 p.m. last night because of weather and could remain closed for the rest of the fall and winter. According to the Aspen Times, crews from the Colorado Department of Transportation sent out a statement just before 3 p.m. yesterday announcing the gate closure on Highway 82, which took place at 7 p.m. on both the Pitkin County and Lake County sides of the pass. Crews have been plowing the highway, which goes over the 12,095-foot Continental Divide, in an effort to keep it open. However, inclement weather forecast for the higher elevations led to the decision to close the road. It is the earliest Independence Pass closure since at least 2011, when it was closed November 2nd. The latest the pass closed since 2011 was November 17th in 2016. Communities around Colorado are urging citizens to help maintain the population of monarch butterflies by creating pollinator gardens. Eric Galatis has this story.
If you've ever watched the process of a caterpillar becoming a vividly colorful monarch butterfly, you probably have an appreciation for a challenge being issued by the National Pollinator Garden Network. The Million Pollinator Garden Challenge calls on everyone from horticulture professionals to school children and volunteers to help create and register 1 million pollinator gardens by the end of this year. Pollinator declines in recent decades have been extreme, and Mary Phillips with the National Wildlife Federation's Garden for Wildlife program says monarch populations have plummeted 90% in the last 20 years.
Monarchs are something people identify. It's an iconic butterfly that many of us have experienced in our childhood. So that's been an amazing motivator to get people to focus and engage around the pollinator issue.
Yampa River Botanic Gardens in Steamboat Springs is just one of dozens of sites in Colorado joining in to encourage people from all walks of life to create their own pollinator gardens. Pesticides and habitat loss are among the causes of pollinator declines. Phillips notes that a Cornell study found one-third of all the food we eat is the direct result of pollinators. Phillips says the Garden for Wildlife program helps not only wildlife, but also gives people a daily connection to the natural world, whether they create a garden in the city or the country.
It's very small to very big. Some of these are creating tremendous acres of habitat, and others are kind of connecting corridors across urban settings. So both of those approaches are equally valuable.
Million Pollinator Garden Challenge participants can learn more and register their pollinator gardens online. Plus, they can take a look at the challenge map. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And a Halloween story for you today. Colorado is the fifth worst state for trick-or-treating. According to the Denver Post, a recent analysis of candy buying trends over the past 2 years shows that Coloradans spend well below the average per person on candy during Halloween. Coloradans spend an average of $12.37 per person on candy. That's well below the average of $16 per person. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.